UK might ban food on public transport. This is BreakingNewsEnglish.com. The United Kingdom's government is thinking about banning all food and drink on public transport. The UK's plan to ban people eating and drinking on trains and buses is not popular with people. They say the government should not control whether or not people can eat and drink on public transport. Many people say the plan was another example of the UK becoming a nanny state. This is a country that wants to control everything people can and cannot do. The UK's chief medical officer, Professor Sally Davies, said the plan was necessary to help reduce obesity. She said it was part of a plan to halve obesity in children by 2030 and to help people make healthier lifestyle choices. Professor Davies reported that there are twice as many overweight school children today as there were 30 years ago. She said, "Today's children are drowning in a flood of unhealthy food and drink options." She said this is made worse because of insufficient opportunities for being active. She said children do not get enough exercise. She added, "We must go further and faster." Ms. Davies also wants to stop fast food being sold at soccer games. Many travellers are angry about the plans. A nurse, Nikki Paxton, said the transport ban would make her life worse. She said, "I often work 12 hours without a break, and I need a sandwich on the train on my way home from work." UK might ban food on public transport. This is BreakingNewsEnglish.com. The United Kingdom's government is thinking about banning all food and drink on public transport. The UK's plan to ban people eating and drinking on trains and buses is not popular with people. They say the government should not control whether or not people can eat and drink on public transport. Many people say the plan was another example of the UK becoming a nanny state. This is a country that wants to control everything people can and cannot do. The UK's chief medical officer, Professor Sally Davies, said the plan was necessary to help reduce obesity. She said it was part of a plan to halve obesity in children by 2030 and to help people make healthier lifestyle choices. Professor Davies reported that there are twice as many overweight school children today as there were 30 years ago. She said, "Today's children are drowning in a flood of unhealthy food and drink options." She said this is made worse because of insufficient opportunities for being active. She said children do not get enough exercise. She added, "We must go further and faster." Ms. Davies also wants to stop fast food being sold at soccer games. Many travellers are angry about the plans. A nurse, Nikki Paxton, said the transport ban would make her life worse. She said, "I often work 12 hours without a break, and I need a sandwich on the train on my way home from work." UK might ban food on public transport. This is BreakingNewsEnglish.com. The United Kingdom's government is thinking about banning all food and drink on public transport. The UK's plan to ban people eating and drinking on trains and buses is not popular with people. They say the government should not control whether or not people can eat and drink on public transport. Many people say the plan was another example of the UK becoming a nanny state. This is a country that wants to control everything people can and cannot do. The UK's chief medical officer, Professor Sally Davies, said the plan was necessary to help reduce obesity. She said it was part of a plan to halve obesity in children by 2030 and to help people make healthier lifestyle choices. Professor Davies reported that there are twice as many overweight school children today as there were 30 years ago. She said, "Today's children are drowning in a flood of unhealthy food and drink options." She said this is made worse because of insufficient opportunities for being active. She said children do not get enough exercise. She added, "We must go further and faster." Ms. Davies also wants to stop fast food being sold at soccer games. Many travellers are angry about the plans. A nurse, Nikki Paxton, said the transport ban would make her life worse. She said, "I often work 12 hours without a break, and I need a sandwich on the train on my way home from work."
I'm an Irish citizen, but I lived in the UK for over 20 years. And in fact, Irish citizens who were resident in the UK at the time of the referendum were allowed to vote. All the Irish people I know voted to remain in the EU and were bitterly disappointed to find out that the Leave vote won. The UK is Ireland's most important trading partner, and Ireland itself has really felt the benefits of being part of the EU, so very few Irish people would want to leave that. I'm an English teacher by profession, so I probably won't see any major changes in my day-to-day life. Furthermore, I have an Irish passport, which entitles me both to remain in the UK as long as I want, but also, as it's part of the EU, to travel to any other EU country as much as I want. The main changes that I have seen have been in the atmosphere in the UK. I can see a lot of division between the Remainers and the Leavers. And I can see a growing hostility towards foreigners. People are often quite mixed up as well. People are angry with foreigners from the newer EU countries who they feel are job stealers. And at the same time, people often throw in questions about migrants from outside the EU too. So I think people just generally feel that they're in a state of fear and confusion about what's going to happen in the future. I'm an Irish citizen, but I lived in the UK for over 20 years. And in fact, Irish citizens who were resident in the UK at the time of the referendum were allowed to vote. All the Irish people I know voted to remain in the EU and were bitterly disappointed to find out that the Leave vote won. The UK is Ireland's most important trading partner, and Ireland itself has really felt the benefits of being part of the EU, so very few Irish people would want to leave that. I'm an English teacher by profession, so I probably won't see any major changes in my day-to-day life. Furthermore, I have an Irish passport, which entitles me both to remain in the UK as long as I want, but also, as it's part of the EU, to travel to any other EU country as much as I want. The main changes that I have seen have been in the atmosphere in the UK. I can see a lot of division between the Remainers and the Leavers. And I can see a growing hostility towards foreigners. People are often quite mixed up as well. People are angry with foreigners from the newer EU countries who they feel are job stealers. And at the same time, people often throw in questions about migrants from outside the EU too. So I think people just generally feel that they're in a state of fear and confusion about what's going to happen in the future. I'm an Irish citizen, but I lived in the UK for over 20 years. And in fact, Irish citizens who were resident in the UK at the time of the referendum were allowed to vote. All the Irish people I know voted to remain in the EU and were bitterly disappointed to find out that the Leave vote won. The UK is Ireland's most important trading partner, and Ireland itself has really felt the benefits of being part of the EU, so very few Irish people would want to leave that. I'm an English teacher by profession, so I probably won't see any major changes in my day-to-day life. Furthermore, I have an Irish passport, which entitles me both to remain in the UK as long as I want, but also, as it's part of the EU, to travel to any other EU country as much as I want. The main changes that I have seen have been in the atmosphere in the UK. I can see a lot of division between the Remainers and the Leavers. And I can see a growing hostility towards foreigners. People are often quite mixed up as well. People are angry with foreigners from the newer EU countries who they feel are job stealers. And at the same time, people often throw in questions about migrants from outside the EU too. So I think people just generally feel that they're in a state of fear and confusion about what's going to happen in the future.
There are growing concerns that heat and humidity during the Olympic Games in Tokyo next summer could be dangerous to the athletes. Summer temperatures in the Japanese capital often reach 35 degrees Celsius or higher. There also is strong sunshine, and humidity can reach 80%. Earlier this month, a worker at the Olympic building area in the city died from heat stroke. This year, high temperatures beginning in late July were blamed for the deaths of at least 57 people. George Heaveneth is an expert on the effects of temperature and climate on athletes at Britain's Loughborough University. He said the heat and humidity could be dangerous. Humidity interferes with the body's natural cooling system, he said, and that could make it very difficult for the athletes. Heat stroke is a big danger, especially for endurance events, Heaveneth said. About 15% of athletes, even in a cool environment, have body temperatures above 40 degrees Celsius. But when the temperature gets above 40 degrees Celsius, he said, more athletes could face heat stroke. Tokyo has held several endurance test events in recent weeks, including a triathlon and a swimming marathon. Japanese swimmer Yumi Kida hopes to compete in the games next summer. She said conditions in Tokyo Bay were difficult. The sunlight was strong and the water temperature was high. When I joined the race, I worried I might suffer from heat stroke, she said. Event organizers have changed the start times of several endurance events to begin early in the morning. They said they are taking other measures to ease concerns about the heat. Yasuo Mori is with the Tokyo 2020 Games Operations Bureau. He told reporters, I also hear they are deploying medical staff every 50 meters of the marathon course. He added that more water than usual will also be available. There are growing concerns that heat and humidity during the Olympic Games in Tokyo next summer could be dangerous to the athletes. Summer temperatures in the Japanese capital often reach 35 degrees Celsius or higher. There also is strong sunshine, and humidity can reach 80%. Earlier this month, a worker at the Olympic building area in the city died from heat stroke. This year, high temperatures beginning in late July were blamed for the deaths of at least 57 people. George Heaveneth is an expert on the effects of temperature and climate on athletes at Britain's Loughborough University. He said the heat and humidity could be dangerous. Humidity interferes with the body's natural cooling system, he said, and that could make it very difficult for the athletes. Heat stroke is a big danger, especially for endurance events, Heaveneth said. About 15% of athletes, even in a cool environment, have body temperatures above 40 degrees Celsius. But when the temperature gets above 40 degrees Celsius, he said, more athletes could face heat stroke. Tokyo has held several endurance test events in recent weeks, including a triathlon and a swimming marathon. Japanese swimmer Yumi Kida hopes to compete in the games next summer. She said conditions in Tokyo Bay were difficult. The sunlight was strong and the water temperature was high. When I joined the race, I worried I might suffer from heat stroke, she said. Event organizers have changed the start times of several endurance events to begin early in the morning. They said they are taking other measures to ease concerns about the heat. Yasuo Mori is with the Tokyo 2020 Games Operations Bureau. He told reporters, I also hear they are deploying medical staff every 50 meters of the marathon course. He added that more water than usual will also be available. There are growing concerns that heat and humidity during the Olympic Games in Tokyo next summer could be dangerous to the athletes. Summer temperatures in the Japanese capital often reach 35 degrees Celsius or higher. There also is strong sunshine, and humidity can reach 80%. Earlier this month, a worker at the Olympic building area in the city died from heat stroke. This year, high temperatures beginning in late July were blamed for the deaths of at least 57 people. George Heaveneth is an expert on the effects of temperature and climate on athletes at Britain's Loughborough University. He said the heat and humidity could be dangerous. Humidity interferes with the body's natural cooling system, he said, and that could make it very difficult for the athletes. Heat stroke is a big danger, especially for endurance events, Heaveneth said. About 15% of athletes, even in a cool environment, have body temperatures above 40 degrees Celsius. But when the temperature gets above 40 degrees Celsius, he said, more athletes could face heat stroke. Tokyo has held several endurance test events in recent weeks, including a triathlon and a swimming marathon. Japanese swimmer Yumi Kida hopes to compete in the games next summer. She said conditions in Tokyo Bay were difficult. The sunlight was strong and the water temperature was high. When I joined the race, I worried I might suffer from heat stroke, she said. Event organizers have changed the start times of several endurance events to begin early in the morning. They said they are taking other measures to ease concerns about the heat. Yasuo Mori is with the Tokyo 2020 Games Operations Bureau. He told reporters, I also hear they are deploying medical staff every 50 meters of the marathon course. He added that more water than usual will also be available.